We welcome in Jim Polzine now from the Wisconsin State Journal, Badger Extra. And Jim, I'd love for you to, as much as you can, share with us how this kind of news started making its way to you and how you started processing the whole thing.
Well, kicking myself now, but I had started to hear some stuff about Sean Eichhorst late last week and then into Monday. In fact, I was sitting around the office with Todd Molesky and we were kind of mulling over how this might go down. And his prediction was Eichhorst. I'll give him credit for that. And so we woke up Tuesday thinking that news might come out Wednesday. We just could not narrow it down and go with anything that was official or that we could source out. And then Pete Thamel broke it and all hell broke loose.
Jim, moving to your reaction to the news, you wrote earlier this week that this felt more like a safe hire that didn't really provide much relief for Badgers fans. Then I read your column this morning after you heard Eichhorst speak yesterday and how he sort of nailed as much as he could that first meeting with the media. So did he actually, after listening to him talk, did he move the needle for you? Did your opinion actually change on him and the hire after yesterday?
Slightly. I mean, I would say this. When I even throughout this process, when I considered him as a candidate, it didn't blow my socks off. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was named on when the news broke on Tuesday morning. I made a lot of calls. I spent most of Tuesday on the phone talking to people. And there are a ton of people whose opinions I trust and respect who really like this hire. And so that was noteworthy as I kind of tried to write a piece that is my thoughts and my opinion, but an informed opinion in many ways. So that's where I landed, is that I just, you know, by Tuesday night, I didn't know whether to like it. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I was somewhere in the middle, and I hated that as a columnist, feeling that way, because, you know, you're supposed to have some strong opinions. I just kind of felt like it was in the middle. Now, I will say this, you know, pretty much every name I heard during the process, nobody blew me away. I mean, there just was none where I'm like, yes, pick that guy. And here's why you should pick this guy or girl, woman, excuse me. And so there wasn't anybody. And part of that was, I think the committee and Chancellor Wilcox did a good job of keeping this quiet. So there might be candidates out there that I don't know about and hadn't heard. So it's very possible that, you know, they interviewed someone that I really would have liked. But getting in, Riley, to your kind of the next day reaction, I listen, there wasn't much he could have done that would have blown me away in a Zoom press conference, but I thought he answered everything. He didn't duck the Nebraska question. Thought that was important. You know, he didn't come out and proclaim this master plan. I think that's the worst thing you can do, frankly. You got to get here and talk to people and understand the situation better before you go making grand conclusions. And I like that. I think he's a thoughtful guy. Everybody I've talked to said he's smart, will work with people. You know, it's the Nebraska thing is kind of hanging over his head. And until he proves that to be different, it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, and with this, I had the same thing of it's really hard to have like a take on it. But part of it is, I don't think good programs spend a lot of time talking about the athletic director. And I guess I've come to the conclusion that in 12 months, I really hope that he is just someone that's faded into the background, that he's that either Fickell is here and that coach is, you know, he's rolling, or they've, you know, moved on from Fickell and someone new is in here and things are rolling. And that's the only news to be had, because I mean, Barry was different, but Barry was someone that could seek the spotlight, grab the attention and really do good things for the program. But I mean, if you gave me $100 for every athletic director I could name across the country, maybe I'm naming four or five athletic directors, but I think that's a good thing. The best programs, I don't know if we necessarily should know who the athletic director is.
It's an interesting point, Jim, because I've been hearing the opposite from some fans who are like, this guy can't be the face of the organization. And it's really kind of it's caused me to kind of take a step back and be like, do you have to have a face of the organization? Yes, Barry Alvarez for many years was the face of this place, right? And I don't know how necessary it is, because I think a lot of, like you said, a lot of good work by an athletic director can be done behind the scenes. you know, like with donors, he's going to have to go out and glad hand and work donors and convince them that whatever he's selling is worth giving to, certainly. But I think Joe and Jane Fan are going to look at the bottom line, and that's winning in all sports, but especially in the big sports. So, you know, at that point, if you're successful, you can kind of become the face of the organization. I don't know that that's what he wants. I mean, that's one of the things that we didn't get into that with him yesterday, but you know, if I ever got a chance to talk to him, I think he's a guy that likes to operate in the background. I don't know that you can do that totally. And yet I don't think you need to be out front of every camera and try hard to be the face of a athletic department. So we'll see how it goes. You know, like I said, it is what it is, but going back to kind of what you're talking about, I don't know that any name I heard was going to come in here and instantly be the face of the organization. So I don't know that that's a plus or minus against Eichhorst.
Yeah, and like off of that, and that's what I got me thinking about. Like if I think of Duke, I would think of Coach K, obviously, Nick Saban at Alabama. For Wisconsin, it happened to be Barry because he coached football, and then Brett a little bit. But in general, I think it's usually the most successful program is the face. We just happen to have an overlap for a long time. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about Eichhorst having to be the face. It's more of who is he going – is it going to be Luke Fickell? Is it going to be Jason Eck or whoever he brings in? Who is that new face? To me, it's all comes down to it's the football hire, because that's the most prestigious job here at Wisconsin. That's going to be the face. So to me, it's more about who is Eichhorst going to choose as the face of the program as opposed to him being it.
Yeah. I mean, that's ultimately what athletic directors are judged on, is who you hire, how successful those coaches are, especially in football. Like, we all know that football's got to get fixed somehow, right? So he's now comes in and has months, 3 to 4 months to evaluate what's going on, and then has to decide, is Luke Fickell the best person to lead this program? And if not, who is? And that's what we're going to judge him on. It's somewhat unfair. I don't know if unfair is the right word, but what happened at Nebraska was he got that wrong, right? It wasn't so much that, in my opinion, it wasn't so much that he fired Bo Pelini, because I think there were a lot of people at Nebraska in administration who were done with Bo Pelini. But you needed to nail the next hire, and he didn't. And then fans started looking at it. I was like, why would you fire a 9-3 coach for a guy that goes 19-19 over three seasons? But it completely, you know, he did a lot of good there. Like if you talk to people at Nebraska in terms of student athlete wellness and support, and even like facilities and moving that stuff forward, he did really well there. So you can't look at it as a total failure. There was a lot of behind the scenes stuff that he was doing that was good, and sports that were doing well under him. But ultimately, again, especially now more than ever, you're judged by football. And at this place right now, in the next year to 2 years, they've got to get football fixed, or else the whole athletic department's in trouble.
Yeah, you mentioned football and the mistake at Nebraska. That was the big reason why my knee-jerk reaction when hearing the hire was like, ugh, this is so meh. He made a big mistake. This just feels like we're hiring Nebraska's Chris McIntosh. But then after hearing a lot more about his time at Texas, I'm starting to come around and feel more positively. Do you know, after talking to people, do you know what did he do at Texas? Do you know what his day-to-day sort of looked like, or what his responsibilities involved at Texas?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned day-to-day. That's what I was going to say, is I think he was heavily involved in the day-to-day, because I think nowadays at a lot of, especially the big-time places, the athletic director has so much on their plate with you know, just the landscape in college athletics, donors, fundraising, revenue creation, all that stuff, that I think if you're smart and if you have a good athletic director who is willing to delegate and trust the people he's delegating to, then you can push off some of the other stuff on a deputy athletic director. So you look at Texas success in just broad based. I mean, they've won five of the past six Learfield. And in talking to people around here that got to talk to Sean and got to learn more about him, they said he was heavily involved in all that stuff, had his fingers in everything, tried to find ways to make each individual program better and try to put each coach and those athletes in better position to win. So in terms of specifics, I don't know. It's really, frankly, what I'd like to find out more. Mm-hmm. But nobody has said that he was just there and had a desk and wasn't actively involved in that. I think he, part of that success at least is, you know, Sean Eichhorst had his fingers in that. So that's encouraging. And frankly, to me, if you're going to have a failure like you did at Nebraska, and again, like failure is a tough word, but you get fired.
Yep.
It's what do you do next? And do you go somewhere and learn from your mistakes and go actively help a new athletic department? I think that's what he did. I think the best thing that could have happened is he did that. Ultimately, fans are going to look back at the Nebraska thing. And until, like I said, until he now comes and does something better at a new place, it's not going to matter. But I think he's in better position to be a good athletic director in 2026 than he was 9 years ago.
Yeah, and we can look around sports of people either getting fired or cut and then rebounding from that and having mm-hmm. better careers. So those that want to be negative on it, and I'm kind of, it's more indifferent. He seems like he's capable and he has the right resume. And you know what? That's a heck of a start, because I don't want to make it about Mac, but like, Mac didn't have this long run of, you know, this administrative job for a long time, knowing exactly what it is. And maybe the job wasn't even exactly what Mac wanted. Sean Eichhorst knows exactly what he's getting into. But Jim, one of the things I thought was interesting is that it seems like there was a backlash, which is a change over the last decade, to Eichhorst in the idea that he had ties to Barry. And it's like, oh, it's the old guard. And why would Barry Alvarez, why would we want someone else on the Barry Alvarez tree? Because you look at Mac and it didn't work out here. But I'd argue that whether it's in sports, in sports administration or in life, there are plenty of people of the Barry Alvarez tree who have been wildly successful because of the lessons that he's taught and the things that he's done. So were you surprised at some of the backlash of the idea that, oh, we can't hire this guy because he has ties to Barry?
Yeah, I just think there's people out there. I don't know how big, you can never, it's always hard to tell how big that group is, but there is certainly a element of the fan base and the people who care that just thought it was time to move on to something new, get someone different in here who doesn't necessarily have close ties and can kind of take a look at the athletic department and decide, all right, do we need to make some household changes here? And is this time to kind of blow it up? Is probably too strong, but you know, they're at a very, very critical time. Is it time to have someone fresh come in outside, not tied to anybody around here, and just examine this for what it is and go from there? And I think that's, you know, that's one school of thought. I think the school of thought that prevailed, certainly in Eric Wilcott's mind, is that would be pretty drastic. You know, that would be to have someone that doesn't have ties to the state, university, athletic department, all that stuff, would be risky, a different kind of risk. And I think that's ultimately why they settled on that. I agree with everything you say. Like, if Sean Eichhorst learned from, and he worked for a lot of good people, mm-hmm. and Barry Alvarez is one of them, then that's what you want. You want someone with that type of experience. So I get it for that reason. This has kind of always been a place where you keep it inside the family. Luke Fickell is one of the main exceptions to that. So here they are. Like I said, there's very two very, very opposite schools of thought. And even going beyond that, the other school of thought, if it came down to Eichhorst and Brad Alberts, mm-hmm. Those are two very, very different candidates. Yep. Very, very different, right? You have a pro guy coming in and you have a guy who's been around college athletics for a long time. The pro guy would have been an interesting outside the box way of thinking. Very, very risky though, right? Mm-hmm. To have someone mm-hmm. that comes into this place where it's critical that you work hand in hand with campus and state legislature and cut through a lot of red tape and do, you know, focus on 23 teams and not just one. It's that would have been a very, very risky hire. It would have been a bold move, but I think the people I talked to said it would have been too bold and too much of a risk at this in the current climate.
Yeah, I'll admit I was one of the people in that camp who wanted more of a bold hire, who wanted them to go more outside the box. And it could be an age discrepancy thing. I just don't see why it's a necessity to keep it in the family, right, or keep it around Barry Alvarez. But now looking at, like, they both have their own risks and rewards. So I'm starting to come around to the decision they ended up making. But Jim, taking it 1 year from today, is there anything or what would have to happen for Wisconsin fans or for you to say, like, yep, this is trending in the right direction, it appears that they're getting this right? Or is 1 year, is that not long enough time?
Yeah, that's a really tough one, Riley, because if things go bad in football, he's going to make a new hire, and mm-hmm. 1 year isn't
you don't
enough
know.
To evaluate who mm-hmm. that is. And if it's Jason Eck, I think people are going to be super thrilled, right? But if Fickell comes and goes 7-5 or 8-4 and Eichhorst doesn't make a move, you know, how do you evaluate that too? Like, so I don't know that 1 year is enough. Here's what I want to see in the next 6 months to a year. I want to see the structure in place where they're not making so many little tiny errors, right? The PR mistakes that I think Chris McIntosh made during his last 2 to 3 years. If Eichhorst can just get some of the layup, if he can make the layups, I think that's a good start. And a year from now, it'll be a decent way to evaluate him based on that track record. The other thing that makes it really, really hard to put a timeline on this is we don't know what college athletics is going to look like in a month or a year. Like, is this bill going to go through? What rules are going to be in place? Is there going to be more, you know, is there going to be more, our conference is going to be bigger, and is there going to be more expansion? Like, it's just, it's so hard to predict, which I think goes back to my previous point about why people kind of in the know, whose voices I think were heard, thought a stable choice, the safe pick, which mm-hmm. kind of sounds bad, but I think it doesn't have to sound bad, was the way to go.
The last thing I have for you, Jim, is that, you know, you touched on it earlier, and fans are guilty of it, we're guilty of it too. Like, Eichhorst, as you touched on, was successful with a lot of other sports at Nebraska. Texas had a lot of successful sports outside of football. And Wisconsin, honestly, what we're best at is women's hockey, volleyball, men's hockey's up there too. And women's basketball is growing, and men's basketball is kind of at a plateau. We don't know where it is right now. Yeah. It's got room to grow. But how much of that do you think? I think it's positive he has ties to the university. I think he worked with Mark and worked with Greg Gard at least a little bit, that he understands that I don't need to do anything with those because they're doing well, and I'm going to come in here and just focus on the things that need to be focused on and let the other things cook if they're doing well.
Yeah, I guess the one quibble with that I would make is I'm curious to see if he can help men's basketball in terms of NIL.
Yeah.
Like, I think Greg Gard is doing about as much as he can mm-hmm. On his own in a lot of ways with his staff. And it's not a one-man operation. But I guess what I'm trying to say is they've had a hard time keeping up with the Joneses. And, you know, Sean Eichhorst has said, you know, he believes one of his strengths is he goes and asks coaches what they want and says, I'm here to help you. So how helpful can he be in those regards? It's a tough one right now because, again, a lot of the resources are being poured into football, and I understand why. But men's basketball is one I want to keep an eye on. You know, how do things look in a year in terms of how much support is Greg Gard getting from administration? But you're right. Like, you know, Mark Johnson, Kelly Sheffield, keep those programs rolling. Is women's basketball continue on an upward trajectory? Men's hockey made a big play. And then the other, you know, how do they do in the other non-revs is interesting to me. He, you know, he said all the right things. And I think one of the reasons he got this job, and just in kind of reading between the lines with him and Eric Wilcotts, is, you know, he is big. Eichhorst is big on the student athlete experience and academics and all that. All the stuff an interim chancellor wants to hear, mm-hmm. I think Sean Eichhorst probably said in the interview, which is, again, is why probably it made it kind of a natural fit when it came down to Wilcox deciding what he wanted to do.
Jim, fantastic stuff as always with Badger Extra, with the Wisconsin State Journal. We appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thanks, guys. Happy 4th.
Yeah,
happy
you
fourth.
Too. That's Jim Polzin on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. DG Yuengling and Son.